Hey, it's Greg here from the Why We Build podcast. Any suggestions, anything you want to hear on the podcast, want to be a guest, reach out, Greg at remodelersadvantage.com.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Wallen, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I'm Greg Wallach, and I'm here with Steve Wheeler. Today's episode is going to be a special one. If you've ever heard me speak or attend one of my masterclasses, you know I say effective communication supersedes everything. It's usually the solve for anything we're trying to overcome. Think about it. Every great project, every successful team, every meaningful relationship is built on communication. Yet despite its importance, communication is also one of the hardest things to get right. Whether it's giving clear directions, this exit, next exit, resolving conflicts, or simply building trust with others. How can we communicate determines almost everything that we do. To help us unpack this topic, we're joined by a phenomenal guest. I've seen her speak in person. She's charismatic, engaging, and innovative. She brings an incredible energy and passion for both personal and professional growth. She has worked with many individuals and organizations, helping them master the five drivers of success. Her belief is that everyone has the potential to become the best version of themselves, and she's made it her mission to help people tackle the hard stuff, those skills and challenges that intimidate us but are essential for growth. Her life mantra, growth and comfort cannot coexist, is something we'll explore in this conversation, and I think you find it as powerful as I do. Hopefully, we're going to discuss why communication is so challenging and what you can do about it, how to build confidence in your communication skills, maybe some practical tools and techniques you can use to improve the way you connect with others, and how to manage stress and stay composed under pressure. She has a dynamic, no-nonsense approach, and I know you're going to walk away from this conversation with actionable insights and maybe even a fresh perspective on how you interact with the world. So, Steve, please introduce our guest.
Great. Let's get started. So, Nicole Sando is a leadership and performance coach with Dale Carnegie. She is passionate and enthusiastic about personal and professional growth. It is Nicole's belief that everyone has inherent potential to become a greater version of their highest self. Using proven, time-tested methodologies for lasting performance change and growth, Nicole has helped thousands of individuals and organizations build the necessary skills and attitudes in the five drivers of success: confidence, effective communications, human relations, leadership, and stress management. She helps people with the hard stuff, the things that intimidate you, that you hold you back, the skills that really matter. Her life mantra is one that she lives by and uses to help others foster confidence and achieve greater success. Growth and comfort cannot coexist. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Steve, for having me. Excited to be here.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. Now, Steve and I have both mentioned the mantra. So growth and comfort cannot coexist. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, this is really how I live my day to day, right? Growth and comfort cannot coexist. You know, we all know about the proverbial comfort zone, right? Where we live, where we're comfortable, the zone that we go through that doesn't challenge us, that doesn't cause us to stretch out of our day-to-day, our habits, our behaviors, right? But if we want real growth and real success, and I've asked thousands and thousands of individuals over the years, you know, who wants to be more successful next year than you were this year? All hands always go up, right? And so in order to achieve greater success, it's going to mean achieving opportunities and doing things that are currently outside of our current comfort zone. So, you know, if you think about your comfort zone as a bubble, if you will, all those things that are within that comfort zone that are within reach right now, that are easily attainable and reachable, that's our comfort zone. If you want to grow and achieve greater success, that's going to cause you to really stretch out of your comfort zone. And let's be serious. that's not comfortable all of the time, right? That can be uncomfortable doing things that maybe you haven't done before, maybe things that scare you, things that challenge you, things that you haven't yet tried or had a success on. And you won't be successful unless if you get out of your comfort zone, out of your way, and actually do and try those things that scare you. And as you do those more consistently, you expand that comfort zone. You become more resilient. You become more ready for change and challenge. And that is what can help you grow and ultimately be more successful in the long run.
So how has this philosophy helped you, you know, shaped your approach to training people, to your own life, to personal development, anything like that? How have you, give us an example that you have used to make this, make success better for you?
Sure. I mean, you know, I spent the first half of my career in a completely different industry. I was in the restaurant and hospitality industry for 20 years, and I loved it. I did that for a long time. I was very good at it. And, you know, at one point, I thought to myself, okay, I'm not sure that this is going to really challenge me and sustain me for continuous growth in my life. Although it was something that I've done for so long, so I was very comfortable, I was good at it, I was looking for change. But again, change isn't easy, right? And so, I had to do a little bit of self-reflection and think, what is something else that I could do, even if it's something that I don't yet have experience in or something that is going to be challenging or that I'm going to have to overcome some hurdles? And I made that decision about 8 years ago when I reached out to Dale Carnegie, which, sidebar, I had taken the core Dale Carnegie leadership about 15 years earlier. So I had some experience with that. And that was something that really caused me to get out of my comfort zone. I thought, you know, if I want to take command of my future, if I want greater success, if I want growth, I'm going to have to put myself in a situation that's unknown, that's scary, but it's going to possibly open up the opportunities to create future change and growth. And that was one of the biggest times in my life where I really got out of my comfort zone. And had I not done that, I, you know, certainly wouldn't be here chatting with the both of you here today. And so that would be one main example for me.
You mentioned in the intro, mentioned in the monologue here, you know, effective communication, it really impacts, you know, our members, people in our circle. And like I mentioned, it applies to everything that we teach in our masterclasses and programs. What are some of the most common barriers that people face in terms of effective communication, and how can we overcome those things?
For sure. Well, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know, they're scared to engage in conversation, to talk to new people, to interact, because oftentimes people lack the confidence in, what am I going to say? Or how am I going to say it? How am I going to look, right? Often people have a barrier or a fear of being judged by others. And so they shy away. They shy away from meeting new people, whether it's networking, whether it's sales calls, right? Pouring their business through actually doing those, having those conversations, picking up the phone or knocking on doors. It could be just having challenging or difficult conversations with others. And so that can really hold people back. You know, actually communicating can hold people back, right? If they lack that confidence. And I would say one of the best ways for someone to build their confidence in terms of how they communicate is to really think about how they're showing up. Because the way that you communicate with others will either build trust, rapport, and ultimately your credibility, or it could detract it. And there are three main factors or three main ways in which we communicate with the world that will tell others how to receive our message. And we often don't think of them all together. And those three ways are, the first one is the words that we use, right? Actually what we say, the content that drives the conversation. The second area is our tone of voice. Right, our tone. How are we emphasizing? Maybe it's our pitch, our pace, right? That it can either build rapport, empathy, or it can demonstrate confidence or lack thereof sometimes, right? And so our tone of voice. And the third element of communication is our body language. And those three elements, when you're communicating, when you're intentional about matching those three elements, you're congruent, right? If what you're saying is matching the tone and the body language of how your audience is seeing you, you're going to instantly build greater trust, and that's going to increase your credibility. So becoming more aware of how you're showing up using those three elements, that will make a huge impact for anyone in any situation where they need to communicate with others.
So you don't know this, but congruence is one of my favorite words. I think it works all the time.
I learned that in like high school geometry, and never did I think I would be using that again in my profession, but here we are. Yes. Why do you say that?
Because I like the idea. It's a feedback. It's a, you know, it's my message and your message, you know, being in line, or what I'm doing with my hands right now versus the words I'm saying, are they matching up? Now, a lot of what we do is virtual. It takes almost two of those things out of the running. How do we handle virtual conversations?
That is so true. And in this ever-increasing virtual world that we live in, right, we're all digital. You know, I'm sure if you're like me, you probably do a lot of your communications through text messages or emails, where now you've only got one, right? You're not even, right? Right now we've got videos so we can see the body language. But as soon as you're either on the phone and you only have the words or the tone, or you're on text or email and then you only have the text, it becomes more challenging. And so you need to be more intentional, because actually body language, and studies show that of the three, body language has the greatest impact on the message that you're giving off. So to give you a very quick example of this is that, you know, if we started this call here, this podcast here today, and you welcomed me and I'm sitting here going, well, yeah, this is going to be fun. You know, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. How would you feel? Would you believe me, or what impression would I be giving off to you?
Not a very strong one.
You probably go, oh dear, this is not going to, you know, go so well. And so, you know, that it's really important. And, you know, if you're doing a lot of work virtually, if it's a virtual sales call, for example, that's going to have an impact. If you're on video, you need to ensure that, and virtually it takes even more effort and energy. You have to be more intentional about what the other person is seeing, because this is what they're seeing, right? And so all of a sudden your openness, your body language, your facial expression, that's going to be more important. When it comes to just texting, I always ask individuals, you know, when it comes to nonverbal communication or, you know, texting, I'm like, have you ever gotten a text from someone and it's like in all caps with like 8 exclamation marks and you're like, why are you yelling? Right? Why are you mad at me? And maybe the other person's just excited. They're, you know, you don't get the tone, right? And so it's harder. So communicating in the virtual world is exponentially harder, which means it takes a lot more effort and being intentional on how you want your message to come across, because it's not up to the other person. It's up to you to deliver your message with the intended way that you want them to receive it.
How about emojis? Does that become body language?
Absolutely. You know, I put you, we've emailed, we've communicated. Yeah. I'll almost always have an emoji. It's almost usually a smiley one, unless if you're in the doghouse, right? But absolutely, professional or not, I will do that, because that's my way of letting you know explicitly what my tone is, how I'm feeling. So absolutely, emojis help.
Steve, what's your favorite emoji?
You know, I'm more of a GIF person if I'm going to express my how I'm feeling. Nice GIF is the way I express myself, but you know, a solid thumbs up, you know, or if I'm not happy about something, a good hand over the face guy.
Face palm.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
So I have a question. When you know, when I think of the comfort zone, I almost have an internal alarm clock for comfort zone. If I don't feel that I'm properly moving in a direction forward or progressing skills, things in my life, I almost have this cloak that comes over me of a feeling of, you know, it's discomfort in the comfort zone, right? So there's people that need to make changes. So how can somebody identify, like, because in many times when there's a need for change in someone's life, it's uncomfortable. They're either overworked, they don't have the skills to get out of their own way. What's the best way for somebody to say, you know, this is where I need a change? What's the first step of identifying the comfort zone, or that there's change needed in someone's career, life, whatever it is?
It's not easy. Let's start with that, right? But if you know you want change and growth, and most people do, right? Most people aspire for progress, right? You're happy with where you are, that's great. And usually people still aspire for growth. And so when you can identify, you know, there's something new I want to achieve. And if you haven't done it yet, there's some sort of barrier there. There's a reason, whether it's fear, whether it's a skill set that you're lacking, there's something that's causing you not to have done it before. And so first you need to figure it out. Do I need some competence or skills in that? Or do I need some courage and confidence, right? Because oftentimes it might just be the doing and the trying, right? It's the jumping into the deep end when you're not ready, so to speak. And that's not easy to do. And unfortunately, that is a part of the growth, right? We often hear the expression, and I'll allow for the two of you to fill this in. You often hear practice makes
perfect.
Perfect.
And you hear that a lot. And the truth really, though, is that practice doesn't really make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Because if you want to build a new skill or behavior or habit, you're only going to make perfect if you're practicing that thing perfectly over and over. Practice actually makes permanent, because what you do consistently over time is what will become your new permanent default habit. Your habitual behaviors that drive your life, right? 95% of what we do every day is driven by our subconscious mind, our subconscious beliefs and actions that we're not thinking about. And that keeps us complacent in your comfort zone. So I'd say the first thing, Steve, is that awareness of what is the barrier between where I am and what I want to achieve, right? Current reality, future desired outcome. And what is that barrier? Is it that skill or is it courage? When you identify that, then you need to put yourself in the doing and the practicing. Many people get stuck in that analysis, that thinking that I don't have enough knowledge or information to move forward just yet, that will hold you back almost always. So start by doing, take action, and learn as you go, because that practice, you'll improve over time, right? You'll progress over time. So I'd say allow yourself to be scared. And anytime you do feel that discomfort or that fear, you go ahead and do it anyway. You're building your resilience, you're building your courage, you're building your strength, and that is going to expand what you're capable of. Your confidence will go up, and as you continue to practice, your competence will go up. And confidence and competence is a loop. Confidence goes up, you're more willing to do and try, and as your skill set goes up, you're feeling more confident to continue doing and trying, and that will lead to a more permanent, positive future behavior that's going to lead to greater success.
You know, for me, it's I think there's two things that I identify if there is comfort zone, and that's A, there's a lack of direction. I haven't set the proper goals, so I don't really know what I'm doing. And then, like you said, there's an avoidance. So whether that's avoiding a conflict, you know, everything, you know, comfort zone is almost a misnomer, right? Because it's filled with discomfort if you're avoiding conflict or not really sure where you're going. And so do you have a place where you say, all right, is there an assessment when someone comes to you that really says, where are you? What are the first few steps we need to do to either identify where you are and start taking the steps forward?
Well, you started off with talking about direction. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Where are we ever going? What's our vision, right? Organizations have visions. You know, teams have visions, right? And so what is your personal vision? If you don't know where you're going, it's going to be very hard to get there, or it's going to take a lot longer than it needs to. You know, it's like getting in a vehicle. And if you don't know where you're sending your GPS to, well, you're going to start going places and you might eventually get to a destination you want to be at, but it might take a long time. You're going to go off course and back and off course, right? And so that clarity of direction, I would say, is the most important thing. If you want to create real change and drive the future outcome of your life, is getting really crystal clear on what does that vision look like. And when I do coaching or leadership training, whether it's with individuals or teams, that's where we start. And we actually paint the picture. So whether it's 6 months into the future or 5 years, I don't know about you, me personally, I like something that I can bite on soon, something that's going to get me exciting and really, you know, compelling to reach for, where I can see some close progress. So I think a 3 to 6 month vision is always good to have, and you'll constantly revise it. But a good starting place to be would be to think about, transport yourself 6 months into the future and imagine you're in that current day. So from here, we would say, let's imagine you're in November the 21st, right? 6 months out, or sorry, May the 21st of 2025. Describe that day. What do you want to be able to say is true as you experience that day? What have you accomplished? How are you feeling? How are your relationships? How's your confidence? How's your health? How is your bank account? All of the things that we all care about on a day-to-day, I would say from that standpoint in direction, put yourself there and really create that clear and compelling vision. And when you can see it, you have a lot more clarity on what you need to do to fill in the gaps between here and there to get there. So that's step one. Step two kind of goes back, the avoidance kind of goes back to that fear, is overcoming what's holding you back and going for it anyway, right? If something scares you, that's the time to jump.
So often we talk about communication. We're talking about our output. We're talking about what our words are, what the tone is, what our body language is. How important is listening to communication?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I wasn't listening.
I'm self-conscious about the way I talk, all right?
I couldn't resist. The drums.
Yeah, Greg, you'll have to add that in. Beyond important, critically important. And, you know, in our sales training, we actually spend a full module helping people reframe what it takes to listen. And there's a whole hierarchy of listening where the bottom of the listening totem pole, if you will, is flat out just ignoring, right? How often are we, you know, multitasking, we're on our phone, we're distracted, and we're not really paying attention. And people can tell, right? When you're not, you know, you're not paying attention, there's no eye contact, there's, you know, nodding and the things that would indicate that you're listening. So ignoring, then, you know, a step above that is it's almost pretending, right? Sort of selective or pretending. And as you move your way up, you work towards, you know, active or attentive listening. And the highest level is empathetic listening, right? And so the challenge there, or the opportunity, if you will, is not listening or hearing someone ready to respond, but really listening to understand. And I know we've all heard this before, right? It's not rocket science, but just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Right. And so really it's the skill in that is allowing yourself to be present enough in the moment when you're talking with someone, not to try to formulate what you're going to say when they're talking, trusting yourself that when it's time to respond, because you've listened to them so empathetically, you will be able to connect with them on a deeper level.
So if you're in a sales role, right, your brain is always working. How are you listening without trying to formulate a response?
If you're trying to formulate a response while you're listening, you have an agenda. And that means that you may not be really hearing what's important to the other person, right? And if, you know, our you know, we do a lot of sales training and development. I coach a lot of people in sales. And, you know, we really see it as the highest level of sales is being a trusted advisor, regardless of the industry, the product, or whatever you're selling is. And to do that, it's not transactional selling. It's taking away your agenda, what you want, and it's really being able to hear and understand through questioning and listening and understanding what's important to that person. What do they want and why? And it's really hard to get to that if you're thinking about your solution before you fully understand their problem.
So whether you're in that sales position or you're given a speech, it's a stressful situation at times, right? It can feel like stress. How do we communicate effectively when we are feeling pressure and we're not, I have a tendency to speed up when I talk, if I'm in a pressure situation, or rely on my slide deck or things like that, when I really just want to be a conversation. So what are some things that we can do in terms of relieving that level of stress that some of us may feel?
Here would be my advice, is that if you're stressed and you're in your head and you're speeding up because you're worried, or you're self-conscious, you're worried about how am I looking, my slide deck, and that means that you're inwardly focused. You're thinking about yourself. And if you're doing that, or if one is doing that, whether it's in a sales presentation or any kind of presentation or leading a meeting, whatever it might be, right? If you're inwardly focused, the likelihood of you really being able to connect and engage with your audience is highly unlikely, right? You're thinking about yourself, right? If your audience is doing the same, if they're thinking about themselves, as we tend to do, right? We think about, what are my priorities? What do I need? What do I want? What am I going to make for dinner later tonight, right? We're in our own heads. So if they're in their heads and you're in your own head, you're not really likely to connect and engage. And when you don't do that really properly, you're not really going to be able to build trust and the rapport and the credibility within that relationship in order to gain the favorable support and cooperation from the other person, as well as earning the right to be more influential within that relationship dynamic. And so, again, not always easy to do, but get out of your head and realize it's not about you. It's really about putting yourself in the shoes of the other person. And one of the most important principles, you've probably heard of Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? And it's a blueprint on how to strengthen relationships and connect with others in a meaningful way. One of the most important principles in that book is to try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view, to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And you know the expression, like, walk a mile in someone else's shoes? Well, to do that, you can't just go and put that person's shoes on you and walk in. You would have to take your own shoes off and then put their shoes on to walk a mile in their shoes, right? Your own filters and your own biases. So that really takes getting, out of your head and really focusing on the other person.
Could you briefly tell us about the 5 drivers of success and how we can use those drivers in effective communication?
5 areas. When you build the right attitudes and skills in these 5 areas, predicts greater success overall. 1, greater confidence. Goes back to that comfort zone. Where do you need to be more confident? 2nd one is effective communications. We've talked a lot about that. Not just what you're saying, how you're saying it, how you're showing up, body language, listening, making your ideas clear, concise, persuasive with others so that you can be more influential. 3rd one is people skills or relationship building, right? A skill, an actual skill on how to better build trust and rapport faster with people in order to gain that cooperation. 4th driver is leadership and influence. A lot of the times we think of leadership as a position of authority or a title. And while it can be at times, that's not our view on leadership. Everyone has inherent leadership potential. And leadership is really about being able to positively influence the attitudes, actions, and behaviors of others around to create and build momentum and innovate, right, in a more positive way. So leading without authority. And then the last area is managing stress and worry, which we've all got, right? And just overall improving our attitude and mindset, especially in light of not being able to add resources like time, money, people, right? How can we increase our capacity without adding resources to help us do so? So when you build the right attitudes and skills in all 5 areas, we don't have enough time to really dive into how to do that today, but those are the 5 critical, you create and generate greater success around you.
We'll have to do another episode on those. I think that would be great.
I was going to ask how to improve confidence. So we'll do that on the next one, I guess. But Nicole, if I was to add up everything, all the 5 drivers, if you have confidence, you have effective communications, human relations, leadership and influence, and stress management, to me, that would equal the word charisma and attractiveness of others. It could be wrong. Is that something that you coach? Is there ways to, you know, because there's a lot of selflessness in the lessons you're teaching too, with active listening and not making, you know, I've always heard in active listening to be interested and not work on being interesting. And so that's an attractive thing for people. And so really, ultimately, if you were to say words that maybe where you get to when you're putting the five drivers in place, is there a, I guess I'm not phrasing this question well, but is there, you know, is this more charisma? Is this more just comfort in self? All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going?
Yeah, charisma is an interesting word. You know, recently listened to a whole book almost on charisma and two elements that came out of it is being seen as trustworthy and competent are the most important factors that come along with charisma. And people think charisma can't be built as a skill. You're born with it, which is not true. Just like confidence, you can build confidence. And, you know, to sort of bring that together for you, Steve, I would really just say that no matter where technology leads to and changes in innovation, is at the end of the day, we all do require the support and cooperation from others around us to be successful, right? Mostly we don't live on islands on our own. We do require others' enthusiastic cooperation in order to achieve our own success in life. And that means being able to foster strong relationships and to, yes, be likable and be seen as someone who others want to support and collaborate and work with. And as you build your confidence and your ability to communicate more effectively with others and strengthen relationships, you earn the right to be able to be more of a leader and influential and gain that support and cooperation. And that too will have an impact on your stress and your ability to tackle challenge and just create a more intentional life with success as your drive, if that's what we're driving towards, right? It's greater success and greater progress. And so if I were to connect that, that's sort of how I would tie that all together for you.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we work with, you know, small business owners. So, you know, sometimes they're having a lot of symptoms and not maybe aware that these types of tools or just this structure exists. So I think it's just so valuable for a lot of the byproducts or symptoms that they face on lack of leadership, turnover of employees. They just don't know how to get through to an employee, how to get people to think like owners, to adapt the vision and mission and all these things you're talking about. And I think any, just the structures of the five drivers are so important and just incredible for people to be aware of. And so where, how can they take that further? You know, is that through coaching, through you, through Carnegie? What are ways for them to continue to develop this?
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone wanted to accelerate their ability to grow the right skills and attitudes in those five areas, the fastest way, right? Experience over time, you know, we build it, but that's too slow. So our methodology and really what Dale Carnegie as a global organization is most well known for is helping people accelerate their ability to build the right skills and attitudes in those five areas through practice and coaching. And good news is that we've got representation all throughout North America and the world globally. And so if anyone ever wanted to participate in an in-person, highly active coaching program, whether it's around leadership or presentation or sales, certainly they have a local opportunity to do that wherever they might be coming from. And or I'd welcome anyone to reach out to me anytime, of course.
Sorry, I love these topics. This is so great. The stress management piece is really important because I think in my younger years, I viewed stress as almost the gasoline in my tank. If there wasn't an opposing force or some sort of, you know, weight that I'm feeling, then, you know, there was nothing to overcome or, you know, that was the driver to me. As you get older, I think the way people metabolize stress becomes more physical and it just shows itself in different places. And you've got more things if you have children, spouse, things like that, more responsibilities. Is there one or two main things you can tell people about just an awareness of how stress is affecting them and maybe some just quick ways to identify and work on or overcome.
For sure. And, you know, of course, this book is well known. Dale Carnegie's other super well-known book is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. 30 principles in that book on practical ways to put stress into perspective and to actually manage and change your mindset and perspective. And, you know, for me personally, I would say that, yes, stress can have all sorts of physical manifestations on us, right? When we experience stress, I'm sure we've all dealt with different ways that stress impacts us. But I say first and foremost, stress happens in the mind, right? When you stress and worry, it's almost never something that's happening in the present moment, right? And when we're worrying about something, when we have worry, it's generally about something in the future, right? We're worrying or anticipating something that hasn't maybe yet happened. If we're stressed or anxious, it's typically something about our past or something that has already happened, right? Which we can't change or control. And so it's really grasping the mindset of what can you control, right? Right now, right? So cooperate with the inevitable as well. So there's going to be things, and then improve on what you can. So gaining some clarity on what is in my control, what is not. Giving yourself permission sometimes to be okay with what you can't control because it's not going to be productive or help. And then just remember that the only time that you can take action is right now. So what is something that you can do in this present moment that's going to help you improve your perspective on that stress, whether it's something like meditating or journaling or keeping busy or something physical? There's lots of different ways that people manage stress. But we can only do that in the present moment. So as best as possible, just remember that stress and worry, it's not about now. It's about past and future. So do what you can in this moment to better set yourself up. And that will build your confidence and your courage in terms of what you can control.
Okay.
All right, Steve Wheeler. This is called Hammer Time with Steve Wheeler. Take it away.
It's Hammer Time with Steve Wheeler.
All right, Nicole. So who would play you in a movie about your life in the business, in your business?
Oh, wow. Who would play me? That is an interesting question. I'm gonna have to go for no other reason than my favorite actress. And that would be Jennifer Aniston. Is that okay if I go with my all-time perfect. Favorite? Okay.
She's the everyone. That's perfect.
That's who I'm going with.
Yes, that's a great answer. What is your favorite book, fiction or nonfiction?
I would have to say one that I've probably read the most that I'm in the middle of again right now is Think and Grow Rich.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal book. And mentioned on our most recent podcast.
Yes, it was.
If you could have lunch with any famous person, alive or deceased, who would it be?
Any famous person? Oh, wow. No kidding, you're putting me on the spot here. Oh, dear. Go to the next one. Give me a second to come back to that.
Yeah, we're going to do a pass. What is the most rewarding part of your job?
When I see people demonstrate greater confidence in the moment and it forever changes them because they see now what they didn't see before in themselves.
That's wonderful. All right. We can go to your script question. We'll just keep moving on.
We moving on?
All right.
Nicole has two wrong answers in that because it was Dale Carnegie and Dale Carnegie. Those are the book and the person. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm in trouble now. Well, I'm in trouble. Yeah, that would be a good one. I'd like to think I'm doing him proud by keeping his legacy going. So,
you very much are. And that's awesome. And so what do you have in front of you for this upcoming year? Greg said he saw you speaking in Canada. Is that correct? So how often are you on the road? What type of events do you attend and speak at?
All sorts of different. So I lead a ton of our core public programs that they're usually are about 2 months in length. So I actually just tonight in downtown Toronto, I'm kicking off our core leadership course. It's the flagship Dale Carnegie course. It's the one that Warren Buffett very famously speaks of. as a graduate of that program. And so I'll be running that in a number of our core programs throughout 2025. I'll be doing a lot of private coaching and leadership training for organizations, as well as I love where, you know, Greg and I met. I've got a bunch of events and keynotes and things at organizations. I've been fortunate enough for them to invite me in, and I get to be in the presence of great leaders and individuals, and hopefully do my best to inspire and help people bring out their greatest selves. So that's 2025. I'm excited.
Yeah. And for the one of the richest people alive to say, Warren Buffett, I've seen it many times. And one of the reasons I got interested in improving my communication, public speaking, was through Warren Buffett saying that the Dale Carnegie course of public speaking is biggest impact he had in his career, bar none.
So. 100%. Yeah. A proud graduate of ours for sure.
Yes. Well, this has been fantastic. Nicole, thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Yeah, Nicole, awesome. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. Where can we reach you?
LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if anyone is watching or listening to this, absolutely connect with me there. Would love to engage. And or by email. Very simple. Nicole@dalecarnegie.ca.
Awesome. Nicole, thank you so much again.
Thank you both. Really appreciate it.
Right on.
Bye.
Steve, I know this topic is up your alley. What are your impressions?
Well, I love it. I just love that people like Nicole are around and here and doing the work she's doing. I think that the Dale Carnegie courses are phenomenal. I have had guidance in public speaking and communicating, and it is, you know, a 10x for the investment that you make. I always think back to, you know, people in my career and in my life, and, you know, the ability to communicate is so wildly important for so many different reasons, but I think we take it for granted, and just that it is a skill, it's a muscle like anything else that can be developed and improved. And even all of the five drivers that Nicole mentioned, communication in particular is just one of the absolute best skills that you could work on. You know, it's something that I was a remodeler for 12 years. And, you know, when I got to Remodeler's Advantage, I was asked, can you do some public speaking? I said, sure. Did my first one and realized that that is something I need to work on. So over time, you know, just working on the skills, the attributes of better communication, better public speaking, it can be worth, I mean, you know, it's really endless on the value that that can provide a business owner, a person, anyone. And that's just, you know, one of the subsets that Nicole covered today.
I liked how you were boiling down the five drivers of success to be this charisma. And then I like how she threw it back as, you know, trustworthy and confidence. And isn't that,
I love that,
just so perfect? It really is. I mean, that is what it's all about, whether we're public speaking or doing something like this or whatever it is in our daily life, that trustworthy and confidence. The other thing she said that really I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially when we're talking to our business owners, and it's just having that direction, or we tend to say vision a lot when we're trying to coach our members. But I mean, that is, you know, it's probably Yogi Berra saying in there, right? You don't know what you're getting until you get there, or, you know, something crazy like that. But just having the right direction is just so.
Well, there's so many things to that, right? It's like we would never build a house without a blueprint. We'd hopefully, you know, there are a few out there, but we would hopefully never run a business without a budget. And, you know, if you find yourself without goals, you're going to end up somewhere. Sometimes it's where you want to be, but oftentimes it's, you know, something that a place you don't want to be. It's back in the comfort zone. And so I think, you know, goals, writing down your goals, something I constantly have to work on and just make sure I'm staying on top of it. But, you know, it's the small goals for the next month, the next 6 months, but, you know, 5 years from now, there's an exercise that we do in roundtables. And I think Nicole spelled it out perfectly. But if you were to wave a magic wand in 5 years from now, just describe what the day looks like from there, you have the goal. You have your end goal of what you're trying to get to, and you can reverse engineer the actions and activities needed, the discipline, whatever it is, to get to that point. And so, yeah, I think goals are wildly important. And I think many people spinning their wheels are, there's a lack of direction to be found as the culprit.
I think a lot of those folks, I think some of those folks do have goals, but they're not written down. I think you have to write them down. You have to be, you know, in the last episode we did talk about, you know, vision boards and things like that. Yeah. It's the same idea. The why we ask our members to come to a meeting with an org chart 3 years in the future or 5 years in the future, whatever your groups are doing. That's why you write it down, and it's much more likely to be concrete. No construction pun intended, but that's exactly what we're trying to do here. Steve,
this has been awesome. I love these topics.
We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again to Nicole. We'll put her information in the show notes, and looking forward to our next episode.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg at remodelersadvantage.com.